Good morning. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. We're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'd like for you to prepare your hearts and minds for worship, because that's why we're here. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for this beautiful day that you have allowed us to experience and to be in your house, Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We ask that you would clear our minds and our hearts of the cares of this world. Allow us to focus on you for a short while, and Lord, to give you our praise, honor, and glory. It all goes to you. In thy name we pray. Amen. We want to talk this morning a little bit about the purpose of the church. Now, some people are going to say that the main purpose of the church is fellowship. That we come to be encouraged, we come to encourage folks, we come to see people with the same values, to be refreshed, and all of that's true. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people say that we come for sound biblical teaching and preaching, and by all means you should have teaching and preaching that adheres to the Word, follows the Word of God, and that's important also. And some people would say that coming and the main purpose of the church, if somebody asked them, would be praising God. And that's good too. We're here to praise the Lord. That's why we sing praises. That's why we give praises for the things that happen in our life. And all of these are taught in Scripture, and they really characterize a good church. All of these things. But if these were the main purpose of the church, ask yourself, would God have left us here after I accepted Christ? And you're looking at me with a little funny, but think about this. If our main purpose was fellowship, why would he leave us here on earth with all of the evil and all of the things that are going on? Why wouldn't he just take us right on to heaven that we could fellowship with him if that were our main purpose? If the main purpose were sound biblical teaching and preaching, and that was all we had to do, why wouldn't he just take us on and we would be with him in glory, and we would get to hear the Master teach? Amen. And if it were to praise God, if you read the book of Revelation, all the elders would fall down on their face on their, and prostrate before the Lord and praise God, worship him. Then why wouldn't he just take us on? So all of these things are part of the church. They're important to the church, but they're not the main purpose of our church. The main purpose of our church is to glorify God. And you say, well, you said praise God, but praising and glorifying are not the same thing. You praise God with your lips and your actions, some of your actions, but you glorify God in the things that you do for Him. He gives us a few examples in the life of Jesus. I said a few. That was a bit of a sarcastic comment. He gives us a lot of examples in the life of Jesus on how to glorify God. In 2 Peter 3:9, he says that he's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Christ said he wanted all to come to repentance. In 1 Timothy 2:4, it says that he desires all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth of God, and God is truth. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said himself he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That is, the church, all of us, our supreme mission should be for this purpose. We glorify God through reaching lost souls. All of this stuff that we do in here, all of the preaching you hear, all of the teaching you hear, all of the training you hear, all of the different activities we have for the kids, the adults, everything is all in preparation. We come to be built up, we come to worship, we come to praise, but we come to be equipped to go out and take the word of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That is our main purpose. Otherwise, why would he leave us here? Is this just some kind of trial that he allows us to endure for 60, 70, 80, sometimes 90 years? Or is there a purpose to our being here? You have to ask yourself why. And so turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. We're going to look at verses 16 through 20. And I include 16 with these because it is important to the message. Jesus is getting ready to leave the disciples. He's going to ascend back to heaven. This is after his death, his burial, his resurrection. And he is appearing to his disciples. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your interest in our lives even comes down to the number of hairs on our head, that you know every thought, every deed, and that you have prepared this book for our teaching, for our work here on this earth that you give us to do. And we're thankful that you give us the privilege and the honor to work alongside you. In thy name we pray. Amen. All of the things that we talked about up to this point, like I say, are preparation so we can fulfill our primary mission. If you've ever played a sport, you know that practice is not the same as a game, is it? You do a lot of things in practice. You focus on individual areas, individual drills, your area that you're supposed to be specialized in on the team. But that's not the same as the game. When the game happens, it's a totally different thing. You do all of the practice so you can play the game. All the things that we do in this sanctuary, all the things we do in this facility are preparation for you to go out, for me to go out and witness to a world that does not know Christ, who doesn't even know that they need to know Christ, whom Satan has blinded, and they think they're right and we're wrong. And that's the kind of society that we live in. But it is our job for Christ to glorify him and to take this word to a lost and dying people. He gives us five elements in these few verses that I want to talk about this morning. Number one is in verse 16, it says, "The 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed to them." They were available. They made themselves available to Christ. If you come and come into this sanctuary on Sunday and you sit and go through the motions of worship, but your mind is on everything else and you're not involved in any of the things going on in this church, then you are not available. And you say, "Well, yes, I am. God can use me anytime he wants to." You are available when you go to where Christ is, to where Christ is being taught, to where the Spirit has settled on a group of people. You are available when you do that. They went to Galilee because they were there. Number one, they met Christ. They met Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't meet Christ by yourself in the woods, on the road, on the lake, on the golf course. And we can go over things about all different, you know, whatever it is that you can meet Christ. But you're going to be more likely to meet Christ in a special way within an organization called the church. Otherwise, why would God have made one? You ever thought about that? Why do I need to be in church? Because it is God's plan for his people. It is God's plan. They met Christ. And the second thing, they received orders. They received a commission when they met Christ. Some of you don't want to be any more involved because you're afraid you're going to have something to do. Well, let me tell you something. Every one of us has something to do for the work of Christ, for the building of the kingdom, because Christ equips every one of us. Paul makes it plain in his word that he calls some to be this, some to be that, some to be the other. Every one of us has a purpose for being right here this morning. Every one of you has a purpose for being a member of this church. And whether you want to do it or not, you can reject it. But you're going to have to stand before God one day, and you're going to have to explain to Him why you didn't do it. And I'd like to hear what you got to say to Him when you don't fulfill the job that He has for you. What are we going to say to the Almighty God, the Creator, the One who was, always, who is, and who always will be? What are you going to say? I enjoyed watching the ball game too much. They got orders. And then the third thing, He doesn't just give us a job to do and then put us out there on our own and say, you figure it out. They received a promise. They received the promise that Christ would be with them always. In James 4:8, it says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. God doesn't leave us clueless. That's why we celebrate the Holy Spirit. When we sang the song, we sang to God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And when you are saved, you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. He comes to live within you. You are filled, and you need to keep coming near to God and feel that. And the Holy Spirit will give you the words. The Holy Spirit will give you the ability. He will give you the skills to do whatever it is that He's asking you to do. If you think you can't witness to anybody, that you're not good with speech, look at Moses. God called Moses to lead the people out of Israel. And Moses said, I can't do it. I have a speech impediment. He literally went on like this for three or four different situations with the Lord, telling him that he wasn't the man to do this. And God said, I am. If I am tells you can do it, you can do it. If God tells us to go and tell the world about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then He gives us the ability to do it. We do not have a legitimate excuse. There is no excuse. Because He's with us, we have power, we have the ability, but we have to be available. All of that just comes under being available. The second thing we have to do is worship. We have to worship God. I'm not talking about coming in here and giving God praise, honor, and glory. The worship in those days, that word, the Greek word that was translated worship, means they humbled themselves and fell prostrate. They fell flat on their face in front of Him. They gave Him the honor that He deserves. We talk about repentance. We talk about dealing with sin in our lives. And we won't come to the altar and humble ourselves. We're going to sit in the comfort of the pew and talk to God. And I'm not saying that He doesn't hear you, but I'm saying He would like every once in a while for us to have a humble submission to His power and authority and majesty. Where do we get the idea that we can sit in a chair and confess to God, but the people of the Bible, the elders in Revelation, fell on their face and said, glory, glory, glory to God on high. But we're too good to do that. We've got to humble ourselves in order to be used by God. We've got to worship in an humble adoration. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their nation. I wonder today if we could get every Christian in the United States to fall on their knees and worship God in a true humility and true awe of God, if He could not heal this nation. What do you think? Then we have to do this in submission. And these two go together. It's recognition of the true, all-powerful, all-loving God. He says that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Scripture tells us that every knee will bow. Every knee above in heaven, every knee on earth, and every knee under the earth. All the people in hell, all the people here on earth, all the people in heaven are going to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Lord, is the King, is the Master, and every one of them is going to be prostrate in front of Him. We need to submit to God, folks. We need to stop playing church and stop playing like we have good ideas. We are going to do this here. We're going to do that. We want this man to lead our church. We need to start saying we want God to lead our church and do what God has for us to do. The third thing that he talks about is obedience. Obedience to his command. True converts to Christ are disciples. Disciples simply means that we are students being taught. We're all disciples. Whether you want to be or not, you're all a disciple. You're a student being taught about God, and you'll learn about God all of this earthly life, because I don't know anybody, there is no one, not even Billy Graham or anybody in that category, that knows all the depth and the width of God and his love for us and his instruction for us. And so, by being disciples, we obey. Disciples do what the teacher says. Some of you in here are teachers. How many of you get frustrated when the students don't do their assignment? Or do you just say, oh, that's fine. Never mind. How do you think God looks at us when we don't take the assignment seriously? We do what the Father says. In Matthew 4:19, when he was calling him, he said, come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. This is not something you have an option. You don't get the option to say, well, I'm coming to church today and I'm not coming next Sunday because I'm going to sleep late. Or I'm not coming to Sunday school because I think Sunday school is boring and I don't think there's anything I can learn in there. Boy, that's a statement, ain't it? You can read the Bible every day, 24 hours a day for the rest of your life, and you still won't understand everything that's in it. We all need to be together learning. You all need to be in Sunday school. We all need to be involved in every aspect of the church. Now maybe you won't participate in every aspect, but you can offer your support. You can offer to do things to help them. You can be involved. The fifth thing that he gave them was power. Power. Lo, it calls attention. The newer versions say, look, or they call your attention. That's not just saying, hey, look at this right here. It's a good suggestion. It's like I was talking about in Revelation a few weeks ago. When he says look, when he says lo, he's shouting that out and he wants you to pay attention. Very close attention. He said, look, I'm not sending you out there defenseless. I'm not sending you out there clueless. I'm not sending you out there ignorant. He says, I'm sending you with the power of Christ. His exact words were, I am. What does I am signify in Scripture? If you go back to the Old Testament, I am is all capital letters. It means the omnipotent, omnipresent, all-knowing, all-loving God. And we emphasize love a lot, but he's also a God of wrath and correction and teaching and chastising. But he is the God who always has been, always will be, always is. And he's saying, I am with you till there is no more earth, till the second coming of Jesus Christ, until Christ splits the eastern sky, and until the tribulation and all of that goes forth, and this earth is completely destroyed. He is with us. This is a promise from God Almighty, folks. What more do you need in order to stop playing church and stop playing at being a Christian and be serious about this? Be intentional about it. This is not only supposed to be the church's main purpose, but it's supposed to be our main purpose every day. If I go to work, I'm supposed to project that at work. If I go to school, I'm supposed to project it at school. If I go and visit friends or family, I'm supposed to be telling people about God. Always. Hebrews 13:5 says, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll never leave you. There are times when we leave him. There are times when we intentionally choose to sin. And we intentionally turn our back on him. We intentionally refuse to be involved in that. But God is working all the time. We talked about in Sunday school this morning about the Old Testament prophecy about Jesus coming into Jerusalem and how that is part of God's plan from before there was ever any time. God had a plan to redeem man. And His plan includes you and I going and witnessing to a lost and dying world. That has to be the main purpose of the church. Christ is the head. There is no other head of the church other than Christ. There are a bunch of people who serve under Him, but Christ is the head, and we are to do His will, and that glorifies Christ and God the Father. You may be here this morning, and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and my sermon may actually make you pause a little bit and say, I don't know if I want to have to do that. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't do this, if you don't accept Christ, then He has a very sad ending waiting for you, the second death. All you got to do is read Revelation. You can read any of the Gospels. All what He has waiting for you, if you don't accept Him as Lord and Savior, is that you are going to face an eternity in torment in hell. Maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe you've been trying to confess in the pew for years because you just don't want to trouble yourself to come to this altar. We need to submit to Him in humility. The most important thing about this whole thing is our church is a church in transition. Our church is one in search of a pastor, a leader, God's man chosen to lead us in the proper direction and the way that we should go for the next how many years, and we need to be praying, we need to be working, we need to be talking to folks and understanding that it has to be a man of God. It can't be somebody, it can't be somebody you just like. It can't be somebody, well, he's cute, he speaks really well, his oratory is really well, he can remember all of Scripture, he can quote it from off the top of his head. None of that makes any difference. It doesn't make any difference how many degrees, how many qualifications. If it's the man God wants to speak, if it's a man that God wants to lead you, that's the man you need to be seeking, what He wants and not what we want. He is a God of love. We have a lot of loves in the room. They'll get me in a little bit. He loves us enough, like Kathy said in Sunday school, He loves us enough to correct us. He loves us enough to make us go through trials when we are losing sight of the main purpose. Everything else will fall into place. Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not ours, and all these things will be added unto you. If we want everything to go like it's supposed to, seek Him first. Serve Him. Make serving Him the priority. Not the order of the service, not the color of the carpet, or where my Sunday school class meets, but Him. We're going to have a hymn of invitation as Alex and Kathy come. Kirsten is out sick. Y'all remember her. As they come, think about your priority in being here is. If it's not the main thing, then you need to come to this altar and make it the main thing. As we sing.